This is the Locked On Yankees podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Sean St. Jacques and Gary Phillips. We are back at it again. And the Yankees are in a much better place than we left them last week, Gary. They're turned things around a little bit. It always helps when the Minnesota Twins come into town. They're in again tonight to finish up a four-game set with the Bombers in the Bronx. The Yankees have started to turn things around. You know how well Judge is doing. We know how well Sanchez is starting to play.
Didi,
Giancarlo Stanton had a 4-for-4 game as well. But we want to start out with the new guys that are kind of making the junior baby bombers. How do we want to the next tier of baby bombers?
It's another pregnancy. It's another pregnancy and the twins.
I feel like the Judge and Stanton group is now the toddler bombers, and now this new group is now the new baby bombers. Of course, we're talking about Miguel Andujar and Gleyber Torres.
Right. Well, the way I look at it is, you know, Luis Severino, Greg Bird. Now there's kind of your first generation.
Right.
Okay. Then we've moved on to Sanchez and Judge and Tyler Austin. Okay, that's our third generation. You throw Clint Frazier in there as well.
Yes.
And now, you know, here's another round of babies. But just so everybody's clear, we're all on the same page. We are recording this before Wednesday night's game against the Minnesota Twins, and you'll be hearing it before the series finale on Thursday against Minnesota. I just want to make sure everybody's clear on that. But yeah,
turning back the curtain a little bit. Though.
Right, right. Yeah. So without knowing what the two latest baby bombers are going to do tonight, I mean, really just blown away so far by both of them, especially Andujar.
He's been on a tear these last couple of games. Yeah. He's hitting, 600 or 700 these last few games? He's been on fire.
Extra base hit machine.
Yeah.
It just seems like every time he swings the bat, even when he gets out, he just barrels the ball. He hits with such ferocity, and he squares the ball up so well. It's really been fun to watch this kid hit so far.
It has, and it's funny because, again, you know, it's such a long season. Remember, just a couple of weeks ago, people were thinking, boy, can this kid even hit in the big leagues? And again, there were signs of it last year, early on when he was playing.
And in spring training.
And in spring training as well. And early on, it didn't translate. And now, all of a sudden, it's like he's been in the big leagues for he's gotten hot at the right time, like Sanchez has, and Judge, and now Giancarlo Stanton's been hitting really well, also against the Twins. But literally, like, it's getting to the point where You got to keep throwing in the lineup because he's hitting as well as anybody in the lineup, in a lineup where there's four guys who are you know, some of the top hitters in all of Major League Baseball. It's just been really fun to see Miguel Andujar start to really come into his own, and it couldn't have come at a better time, Gary, as we were going to talk about later. A lot of big games coming up, so it's great to see another guy, sort of an up-and-coming and right now a role player on the team, really starting to get hot at the right time early on in the season.
And what's huge for the Yankees is that he's pretty much been doing this from the bottom of the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, less opportunities.
Right, less opportunities, but to have a power bat and a guy that, you know, if he puts the ball in play, he's going to hit it pretty far. It seems like every time he makes contact, the ball goes at least 300 feet. to have a guy like that at the back of your order and getting on base and producing runs, and then after him, you know, here comes Gardner and Judge and Didi and Stanton and Sanchez. It's like it's just this never-ending cycle of threats in the lineup, and he's really brought the order kind of full circle. There's just no easy outs, and he's a huge reason why right now, because even the guys in front of him, you know, well, when Andujar is your 7 or 8 hitter, look at the protection I've got behind me.
Seriously. And before Tuesday's 8-3 win against the Twins, he went 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts in that game. Before that game, let me just count it up real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight games where Andujar scored at least one run. And he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 multi-hit games in the previous 7 before that, including that 4-for-4 game in the 5-1 win over Toronto back on the 22nd.
What's really impressive to me is just the way he swings the bat. And I was at I was at games Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. No, Friday night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So Aaron Boone, just all of those games, are just talking about how this kid swings the bat. And one thing that I thought was really interesting that he said was that he's got a very similar swing to Gary Sanchez in the way that he prolongs the bat's presence through the strike zone.
Yeah.
Basically just saying, you know, he's got a knack for keeping the bat in the zone for an extended period of time, and that's why we see him barreling the ball the way that he does. And you look at it, and you look at the swing, and it's just so ferocious. But if you really break it down and look at it frame by frame, yeah, he's getting some really great extension through the heart of the plate, and that's why all these balls are coming off his bat like rockets.
We're going to get to why him playing well is going to make it for an interesting decision coming up for Aaron Boone in the next segment, but we also want to get to Gleyber Torres as well. First RBI just a couple of days ago, first hits in the big leagues as well, and already very early on, Gary, and again, very small sample size, obviously, with Torres, but he's already showing you why he was the top prospect in Major League Baseball for these last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, he's had some ups and some downs already. Just a few games in, there was that error on Tuesday night where with the throw from Sanchez, you know, he tried to make the tag before he caught the ball.
Yeah.
Ball goes sailing right.
Well, we've all been there.
Right. But earlier
gotta look the ball into the glove.
Earlier in the game, he made that beautiful tag on the stolen base. Nearly decapitated somebody on the Twins. I believe it was Escobar, I believe. But you know, he other than that one error, he's looked sharp in the field.
Yeah.
He's had some at bats where he looks a little jumpy, a little anxious, but for the most part, he's controlling the strike zone. He's working pitchers. And yeah, his hit so far, he squared the ball up. He's hitting them a lot up the middle, which is nice. You know, that's a good sign from a young player. And yeah, it's very clear what the Yankees have seen in this kid and what all the hype has been about. And he's nowhere. I don't think he's fully comfortable just yet, so it's only going to get better.
And that's the thing. We talk about potential with these guys, and we've been waiting for Gleyber Torres since last year. I mean, thought it was going to be last year. He gets hurt. We don't get to see him. And now everyone since then, I mean, obviously the playoff run kind of took away everyone's attention from that. But as far as the future, this kid is part of the future. It's going to be really interesting to see how quickly he gets acclimated to the major leagues. Obviously, the early signs are there, but with him and Andujar playing this well, you just start to, your mind starts to wonder how good this team can really be this year and how tough this lineup could be, not only this year, but for a long time.
Well, I think this was always the plan, right?
I
think heading into spring training this year, the idea was always going to be, all right, sooner than later, the Yankees are going to have a two-rookie infield with Andujar and Torres. I think it's happened a little bit sooner than the Yankees may have wanted, thanks to some injuries and some struggles of other players, and we're going to get, like Sean said, we're going to get into that in the next segment. But this was always the plan, and I always figured, like, at earliest, it would be May, you know? Okay, so we're
pretty
we're,
close.
Right, we're
about a week away.
Right, we're pretty close, and I don't think these kids, as far as them being ready for it or developed enough, like, that's not an issue. As we're seeing with Andujar, he can hit. His defense is still a work in progress, but he can hit major league pitching. And something Aaron Boone said about Torres when the day he got called up is that this is not a move we're making because we have a short-term need. We're not going to bring him here just to fill a hole for, you know, a temporary hole. This is the long-term plan. Obviously, if he doesn't produce, that plan can change, but the goal is for these kids to be here to stay, which really just adds another layer of excitement to this Yankees team because, you know, obviously there was a lot of excitement when Stanton came in, but last year there was all this interest and jubilation because you had these homegrown kids. So I think having two more part of this team that already has sky-high expectations, I just think that adds another level of intrigue and excitement to a fan base that has all these homegrown kids to root for. And I think that's really fun if you're a Yankees fan.
The thing that's most exciting to me, Gary, is when you look at the ages of these guys. Andujar's 23, Gleyber Torres is barely old enough to drink. He's 21 years old. Yep. And you just look at how good they already are and the potential. And you just, again, it, for me, I always think about Brian Cashman. And you're just like, man, this guy just knows what the hell he's talking about. He knows what the hell he's doing. And this is the master plan. We're just getting another part of the blueprint of the master plan. And this just looks like a team that's going to be a juggernaut for a long, long time. And this is really turning into a lineup, Gary, where there are literally no outs. You've really got to battle through every single guy in the lineup. And the better that Andujar gets and the better that Torres gets, the tougher it's going to be on everybody else. And the fact that they're already up, Andujar's producing. He's been so good the last week or so. And now Gleyber Torres is getting acclimated to the major leagues. It just helps. The Yankees right now, as we're recording this, are 13-9. I just, again, we're going to talk about the tough West Coast road trip coming up. But the way that they're, the momentum that they're building, it always seems to happen when they play the Twins. But the momentum that they're starting to build against, listen, a team in the Twins, it's a solid team that made the playoffs last year, obviously, as Yankee fans. No one could very well challenge to get back there again. This is where the Yankees wanted to be at this point in the season, especially with all things considered. Okay, Gary, now we have to talk about the problem, the good problem, that this causes for the Yankees. Now, because of the fact that Andujar is playing so well, Torres has now been called up, Tyler Wade's been sent down, and the fact that now Tyler Austin is finally going to get suspended for the brawl at Fenway Park, Aaron Boone has some decisions to make because Brandon Drury is about to come off the DL as well. Do you think that this might end Neil Walker's stay in the Bronx, or does this, I mean, does this affect someone maybe like Ronald Torres? How does this affect the rest of the infield? Because now you're starting to look at all the talent that's there, and there's just not enough spots for everybody.
Right. So the Austin suspension, which at the time of this recording, we still don't, still has not
correct.
Been announced.
Yes, but it's pretty much going to happen.
We know it's happening. We don't know exactly how many games it's going to end up being after the appeal, but it's happening.
And originally it was 5 games.
Right.
So the appeal is going to be
I can't imagine it's going to be anything less than 3 or 4 games.
Exactly. He's going to lose a couple of games. He's going to lose some at-bats.
So what that does is it buys Aaron Boone a little bit of time as far as this decision goes. It might buy Neil Walker a couple of at-bats to see if he can get himself going. So far, he hasn't done that. But once Austin is back, Brandon Drury is also supposed to be back, you know, sometime in the next week, give or take. So you got Andujar playing lights out at third base. You have Torres up, and you know the goal is for him to be a permanent fixture at second base.
Absolutely.
And you have to wonder who's going to be the odd man out. And right now it really comes down to Neil Walker, who's playing very poorly, and Ronald Torres, who seems to make an impact on both sides of the ball every single time you give him a start.
Absolutely.
There's a salary difference. Walker's making a lot more money than Torres, but you know, in terms of stats, there's no question now.
And to your point, Tyler Austin's also hitting really well when he's in the lineup as well. He's batting almost 300, 4 home runs. He's already driven in 13 RBIs.
Oh, yeah. Austin's playing great.
You're not moving him either. So it's going to be really interesting to see. The other part of this is the fact that, listen, if we were talking about this maybe a week or two ago, you'd be like, all right, Andujar's not ready. Send him back down to the minors. But he's been so good.
He's clearly okay.
You can't move him. He's not good now.
So the one problem here really is that if you get rid of Walker, you know, who is your backup first baseman at this juncture?
Exactly.
And Brandon Drury can play some first base.
Right.
The Yankees prefer him at third, but again,
and so can Tyler Austin when he comes back.
Well, I'm saying as far as Austin being the starting first baseman now.
Right. Exactly.
You know, the Yankees like Drury at third, but again, even when he's back and healthy, you're not taking Andujar out of the lineup
you can't do it
on a consistent basis. So you need Drury to play some first base. And now, I haven't seen him play first base, obviously, when he was with Arizona. I don't know how capable he is there, other than that he's played the position in his career. But that's kind of their only option at this point. And Now, Walker's a very solid and very versatile defender, but he kind of fills in those same corner needs in addition to second base that Drury does. Torres can't play first base, but you know he can move elsewhere on the infield, including shortstop, which isn't something that Drury can do. So it'll be interesting to see how the Yankees shake things up once Drury is back. Once Austin's suspension is over, and then this is farther off into the future.
Yeah,
but Greg Bird's going to start rehabbing this week,
right?
You know
what's going to happen
when he gets back? You know he has a roster spot, but like you said, Austin's playing really well right now when he's in the lineup. Is there a starter? Is he the starter over Greg Bird? Do the Yankees decide to platoon? Do the Yankees just give the job back to Bird? Which you know. Him coming up through the system, he was always regarded as one of the best pure hitters in the organization. So it'll be really interesting to see how all that plays out. But there's one more. There's one other guy we're forgetting about. That's Clint Frazier, who's already started rehabbing.
Talk about an embarrassment of riches.
I mean, you know,
another stud player,
right?
A stud.
Know, who, at this point, right now, if he was healthy. Is probably forced to be at AAA.
He'd have to be. Right. You couldn't put him anywhere.
It was funny. Boone was asked about this yesterday, and you know, he said, you know, kind of like what you're saying, an embarrassment of riches, and you know, it's a good problem to have. Versatility is good. Depth is good. And
but you still got to make the right decision here.
Not only that, but you know, he was kind of tongue in cheek, and he said, ah, these things have a way of working themselves out, that's what happened in spring training when where's Jacoby Ellsbury going to go?
Right.
Oh, well, he's on the DL.
He's hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. The Yankees have some good problems to solve, but problems nonetheless that they're soon going to be faced with, and there's going to be some really tough decisions because even with a guy like Walker, who seems to be the odd man out right now, he's still veteran, he's still very versatile, he's still a switch hitter that brings depth to your lineup, and he's been a very good hitter his entire career. What he's doing now is not reflective of his resume, so you would think if he gets the opportunity he snaps out of this funk, but he might not have enough time to.
The good news is that this is hopefully not going to be, like you said, not going to be dictated based on an injury. It's hopefully going to be dictated on performance. Who's playing well right now? What positions are we losing some depth in right now? Tyler Austin, obviously, will likely get suspended. These are things that will hopefully help Aaron Boone to figure this out.
And, you know, the Austin suspension, that's not a long-term thing.
It isn't.
It's just buying...
It's a delaying the inevitable kind of a situation.
It's delaying the inevitable. It's buying Boone a few extra days, you know, in case something else happens. It's getting Walker, you know, a few at-bats to see if he could really, you know, put the pedal to the metal and... in a last-ditch effort, but it'll be interesting.
The other part of it is, though, how much could Neil Walker really do in 2 to 3 days to keep himself on the roster if it seems like he could be the odd man? He'll have to go, 12 for 12 over three games? I just don't see it.
Right, well, that's the thing, though, and then you've already had injuries in the infield with a guy like Drury, and this has been a thing for years with him now, this tendon in his neck going up into his head. That's, you know, we already talked in this podcast about how crazy that injury is, and only more absurd details have come out since we did.
Yeah.
But, you know, you wonder also, well, what if this becomes a reoccurring thing or a lingering issue? Can we afford to get rid of a guy who kind of fills the same depth role in Walker? So there's a lot at play here. There's a lot to factor in for Aaron Boone when it comes to making this decision. And right now we're just gonna see and wait, but it is a problem on the horizon.
Yeah, and also Gleyber Torres is also still involved here as well. Then
it almost takes second base like completely out of
You can't rotate there. You're hoping that he'll stay there, and that means Ronald Torres, who's still very versatile, he can give guys an off day. He can play all over the infield, and he get, like you said, anytime he's in the lineup, it seems like he gets a hit or makes a big play or gets a bunt down or does the little works a walk. He figures out a way that when you're done seeing him play that day, you're like, wow, Torreyes actually came in right away. He made an impact. That's very important for a bench guy. And he's been doing it for the last year or so.
We're now on year three. I would really be shocked if he ended up being the odd man out. At this juncture,
it'd be a bit unfair.
Maybe the Yankees are left without a choice by the time Greg Bird comes back. But as far as when Brandon Drury comes back and Austin's suspension is over, I'd really be shocked if Torreyes was the guy. Just because, you know, in addition to everything you just said, they absolutely love him. His teammates love him. The coaching staff, Aaron Boone, loves him. They adore his work ethic.
And most importantly, the production crew for the Tonight Show, they're going to be out of a job.
Right, that's right, exactly.
You gotta keep these people employed.
I agree.
We'll see what happens going forward with that. All right, Gary, let's wrap it up with the West Coast road trip that's coming up. After the Yankees finish up with the Twins tonight in the Bronx, it'll be interesting to see if the Yankees can complete this series strong. And then, of course, it's a really tough 7-game road trip starting out on the road. They're going to be going to Anaheim first, taking on Shohei Ohtani's bunch for 3. And then, of course, they face the defending World Series champion Houston Astros for 4. In Houston. It's going to be a very tough stretch.
That's so disrespectful what you just did.
What did I just do?
That is Mike Trout's bunch. I get it. Shohei Ohtani.
He is
the flavor of the young season. I'm as much on the bandwagon as anybody else. Watching him is a pure treat. It's Mike Trout's bunch. Mike Trout's bunch. Let's not forget about, you know, the greatest player in baseball who's already underrated.
I'd like to address the jury. I retract my statement.
Okay. Wise decision.
You're absolutely right. Mike Trout. And just to be fair, I'm not delusional. Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. Back to the conversation.
And you know what's crazy is he's been the best player in baseball since his career began, essentially.
Yet there's people
everybody knows he's the best player in baseball.
But if he walked down the street anywhere, you would not know who he is.
But he's still underrated. Everybody knows he's the best player in the game, and he's still underrated.
He's also not recognizable, I feel like, in the public. Like, if he walked down the street... And he's walking down the street with maybe, I don't know, Shohei Ohtani in Anaheim. People would probably go up to Shohei first instead of Mike Trout. I mean, that's just how it is right now. He's not, and this is a little bit, I don't want to talk too much about this.
Right, we are not locked on Angels.
No, we are not, although we are for this series. But to be fair, he is a guy that needs to be marketed more in baseball. He's a great personality.
All around.
He's great with the kids. He's a great role model. Yeah. The fact that he's not all over television is a bit of a shame because he is a guy that really could be the face of the sport. And honestly, if you think of the face of Major League Baseball, you can honestly think of Aaron Judge. You can think of Bryce Harper. There's other guys that come to mind
first.
Right,
well, that's what Rob Manfred said last year, kind of to get Judge into the home run derby. And this will be the last thing we say about this. And... Now, you can be the... He basically said to Judge, like, you're the face of baseball, we need you to do this. Judge was... No offense to all the great things
Aaron
Judge...
Hadn't played a full season in the big leagues.
...has done in the last year. He was a half season into his career.
Yeah.
And you got Mike Trout. Anyway, that's my spiel. I just want you all to know that as good as you think Mike Trout is, he's better.
Yes.
And
by far the best player in Major League Baseball.
And that brings us to this Angels series, which is an important one for the Yankees because right after they play the Astros, and both of these teams, you know, right now are two of the best in baseball.
Yes, and the Yankees are throwing it. Look, the good news for the pitching staff is that the Yankees don't have to face Shohei Ohtani in this series as a pitcher. They'll have to face him as a
hitter. For the offense.
Correct.
Good news for the offense.
That's good news for the offense. For the Yankees pitching staff, the good news is you've got probably your three best guys going against the Angels. It looks like Tanaka's going in the second game, Severino first. Sabathia will finish off the series. The not-so-good news is that Sonny Gray has to start the Houston series. Not exactly the guy you'd want to start. He hasn't been exactly consistent. We'll see where he's at but when he gets there, like you're saying. But I just feel like... if you want to start off the series right, not sure. But then you got Montgomery going next, Severino and Tanaka again. So the pitching seems to set up really well. You're going to see the best from Houston, obviously, Verlander, McCullers, Keuchel. That's going to be really interesting. But obviously, this is a huge series because of what's coming back on the 10-game homestand. Cleveland's waiting in the wings for three. Boston's waiting for three. And then a decent Oakland team that surprised at times early on to finish up that homestand. Rather, that's a 9-game homestand.
Yeah. So a lot of really big games coming away for the Yankees, coming up for the Yankees. And the two teams that are playing on the road, Sean, I'm wondering, what do you think is, what would you consider a successful road trip between Anaheim and Houston right now?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking a little bit about this before we came on. I think, honestly, and because it's really because of who you're facing and the pitching matchups, if you get out of here 4-3, I think 5-2, you'd be ecstatic.
Right.
Absolutely thrilled. Oh, yeah. 4-3, I feel like you got to be pretty satisfied.
If you're above, if the Yankees come away from these games above 500, that's a successful road trip.
You'd be in great shape.
Forget that they're red hot just on paper and in terms of the talent that these two teams employ. They're among the best in baseball. So you're happy with four wins on this road trip, especially coming back to face the teams that the Yankees are facing.
And you could definitely, I mean, the thing is, the four in Houston is really where it's going to be. I think you'd expect the Yankees to take 2 out of 3 against the Angels just because their pitching staff is still not there yet. I feel like the starting pitching especially is not
where they want to be. They have that rotational advantage going into this.
100%. And then you look at the Houston series, it's a toss-up. If you could somehow get a split, I mean, listen, Keuchel's kind of been a little up and down so far. Verlander's been on fire. McCullers has been really good. If you could get a split there, maybe take advantage. I mean, Keuchel's really good at home. That's the other problem. On the road, he's been kind of up and down. He always pitches well in Houston, it seems.
Yep.
So does Verlander. Those first two are going to be tough. Can you possibly steal one of those and then play with house money a bit in the last two? Maybe get a split. And then if you're coming back home with a 4-3, maybe at best case a 5-2 road trip there, Gary. I mean, Cleveland, as well as they've been playing, they're beatable. And then Boston, you're trying to get revenge from the 3-game series. And then you're hopefully going into the Oakland series looking to maybe challenge to get back towards the top of the division.
It's funny with the Houston series because, you know, right now they're scheduled to face both Verlander and Keuchel
back to back.
And it's like, oh no, Verlander and Keuchel. But, you know, you could argue they lucked out. They're not facing Gerrit Cole.
Very true.
Who's the hottest pitcher in baseball right now.
Who they weren't
willing to part with, you know, guys like Andujar and Clint Frazier in the offseason for, which I maintain is the right move, although I'll also admit that Cole, having made some adjustments to how he uses his arsenal, is a far better pitcher than I gave him credit for.
Although Charlie Morton's no slouch in that first game,
right,
either.
But if you had to pick, if you're going into a 4-game series with Houston, and you had to pick 4 of their 5 pitchers that you wanted to face
right now,
it's a very big there's a lot of talent there, but you're getting chung and cheek here, the 4 worst pitchers in their rotation right now.
Well, you're right. Gerrit Cole, I mean, again, way too early in the season, but he's pitching like an early Cy Young candidate right now. He's been on fire.
He's just striking guys out left and right.
I mean,
and the Yankees have a lineup that has a tendency to swing and miss.
He's striking out 7 guys in his sleep. I mean, it's just not even, it's just unfair how well he's been pitching so far. Now, to be fair to the Houston Astros, when you say tongue-in-cheek 4 worst, but these are 4 of the better pitchers
in the league. This is the best rotation in the league. In the American League.
For 100%, and they've been pitching like it so far. Like I said, you know, Severino, Keuchel, there's an opportunity there to steal that game. Keuchel has been not as good yet this season, but at home he is good. Severino's been on fire, and then Tanaka McCullers, that potential matchup also could favor the Yankees as well. And then coming back home, you got Sabathia again. Hopefully by that point, Sonny Gray has gotten out of this funk that he's in. Although, I'm sure Trevor Bauer's not going to be looking forward to going back to Yankee Stadium after what happened in Game 4 at the ALDS last year. People chanting his name for all the wrong reasons. And then, of course, Clevinger after that. But the road trip, and the Yankees, early on tend to struggle on these West Coast swings, at least in years past. I believe last year it was the Oakland series out there. They really struggled in that four-game set. They may have even gotten swept. It was either they either lost three or four or got swept. And it's sort of a wake-up call. But the Yankees, looking back at a series like that, the Yankees went in there like limping into that series. This is a series against the Twins where they found some momentum. They put up huge offensive numbers, and the pitching is really starting to buckle down, and the bullpen's not fully back yet, but the bullpen is starting to kind of get back into shape as well. That's why, you know, we were thinking 4 out of 7, but the way that this is going, maybe Vandohar keeps playing well, and these other guys, Gleyber Torres also is getting his at-bats. You can maybe see them stealing an extra one and maybe getting to 5-2. And then the sky's the limit coming back for the 9-game homestand.
You know, again, you know, we're recording this all with 2 games to go before this.
Correct.
Before this road trip. You know, who knows what happens on Wednesday night and Thursday afternoon. You know, the bullpen might implode and Andahar might go 0-4. And, yeah, you might only get... You
know, more booze. Who knows?
You might only get 5 total innings out of the starting pitchers. But we'll see. At the time of production, the Yankees are in a really good place with this West Coast trip coming up.
It's going to be interesting to see. We'll be watching. You'll be there for these last two against the Twins. And it's going to be a lot of fun coming up. And sadly, we now have to go do NFL draft stuff, but we will. The only reason I say this, we're dreading it. We're tired of it. So at least read the stuff that we're going to put out for Jets Wire.
Make it
worth our while. And then we will be back with more Locked On Yankees next week. We're already looking ahead because we're tired of this draft crap. So we will see you guys next week.
Take it easy, everyone.